So hello everyone, this is Emel. I'm so excited to be on the Dukan show. Shout out to my husband for supporting me in this journey and my little two-year-old daughter, Noura.
Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
Welcome to your tribe.
This also has the, this is something that I'm like really obsessed about at the moment, which is how we treat our bodies and like in longevity.
Yes.
So he's like, you're closer to retirement.
Bye.
You better wind down. And I'm like, no, retirement is an economic thing, guys. It's not a physical thing. Retirement is an economic system that's put in place. It has nothing to do, like, that's why your visa is attached to it. It's not because you stop moving. It's because, like, you know, it's because.
This is how you know Reem researched retirement.
Bro, right. I'm so annoyed, right? I'm like, wait.
Right.
Because when you're 60, they're not going to tell you, you know what? There are 60-year-olds that I've met that can, like, they'll tear you across the back.
They're
like
marathon runners. Yeah, there's people in Ireland.
Come at me, bro.
No, it's crazy. The other day, I was watching a YouTube clip of these guys who decided to replicate the Batman workouts in the movie. There's a point where, like, oh, you know, he's coming back. And, like, he goes through these trainings. And, like, they're athletes, right? They had a third guy that joined them who I think worked in the film somehow. He was 65. Yeah. He was pulling weights I cannot do.
Mashallah.
I'm 31. Mashallah. Right?
Yeah.
And like, and that's the thing where, and I remember I've always said this to him, like, training for me, and I think especially post-transplant, is if I can run up the stairs at 70 or I can keep up with kids at 70, I'm good. Like, I'm happy with that, right? That's the objective.
And that's doable. You
know? Right? Yeah. It is.
Doable. It is completely doable.
But how is it doable if your doctors are telling your 49-year-old mother-in-law to stop moving?
That's not okay. Yeah. Like, and I think these doctors are the problem, unfortunately. Like, kind of advice is very, is tough. Like, I'm grateful for, you know, the physiotherapist when I injured my shoulder. I went to him like, okay, and we figured out what the issue was and we started treating it. And he was like, listen, I could give you painkillers, we could do stuff, but I'd rather not because you got to listen to your body. He's like, if you're able to train, keep training. And if it feels like it hurts, give it a break, let it rest. And I'm like, I felt like that was the best advice I got, as opposed to a physiotherapist saying, yo, you should stop moving. Like, you should stop moving. That's not okay.
Like, even research-based, just going back to like a woman's body, I'm sorry, like I keep bringing it back.
No, please.
Akawi and Go ahead. But no, in general,
they should learn.
Okay. But like even menopause, like when you think about menopause, the way to actually decrease bone density loss and even muscle degeneration is weightlifting and resistance training. So it's like if you're telling a woman to stop, you are literally worsening her symptoms when she will go through whatever stage in her life after menopause is. Like, why are you giving such advice when you know that's exactly
cortisone
what a woman
is menopause?
Literally.
Yeah, but that's why I got a weightlift, right? Like, it's the same symptoms, unfortunately. And I can't stop it because that's what's keeping my kidney accepted. It's a necessary medication, right? But it is like, it's when I read that, okay, my research at the time, I'm like, okay, my medication is reducing my bone density, adding weight to all the wrong places that I don't need weight in, and it's muscle depleting. I have to find a solution to this. And the only answer constantly, time and time again, was weightlifting because it strengthened your muscles. When it does, it actually helps improve your bones. And when I got into that, alhamdulillah, like knock on wood, like
inshallah.
Every year I test for my bone. I have to test for my bone density. When I started weightlifting was the first time it went up by 8%. It's the first time, not only did it stop deteriorating, it's the first time it went up.
I love that, man.
By 8%.
I love that.
That was groundbreaking for me that time. And like, I remember Reem actually went with me to Abu Dhabi that day to see my doctors. And like, that was big news. Like the fact that I was able to do that. And my doctor was like, yo, that doesn't happen. I'm like, yeah, you're welcome. Tell your other patients.
Surprise.
Bro.
I'm doing the work for you right now.
I got you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we have to do. We have to do the work. Yeah. Like we have to do the work and be the point of
you got to be proof of concept.
Yeah, you have to be proof
but
of
like,
concept.
But like going back to that, you want to know like the biggest thing that I've noticed, the reason why women are scared to put on muscle, forget about the bulkiness, is because you might look smaller, but on the weight, you're larger.
You're heavier.
Like, right? Heavier,
scale,
sorry.
Yeah.
I've done that. I've done that.
And that's the worst thing ever. That's why I tell people, throw away the scale, because you might be the fittest and like the best looking version of yourself, but weight wise.
Yeah. So I got a PT.
Zach, you gotta get these real quick,
I got a PT and like off a referral, I think. Yes, off a referral. And he had me step on the scale every day so he could monitor my success.
A lot though, emotionally.
That for me was so damaging. We fought head to head. And I was like, look, I can't do this because it's making me feel. And he's like, what? You're gaining weight. Like, so what?
Oh my God.
And that, I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm not okay with that. I'm not there mentally. I'm not okay with that. And physically, I felt happy. I generally feel happy with the way I look. But when you start putting those numbers down, I think that I've been conditioned, like many women,
yes,
to think that the heavier you are, the uglier you are. It's simple as that.
Doesn't matter how you look.
It doesn't
matter. The scale says otherwise, right?
And it doesn't matter what I look like, because I think I'm just one of those people that kind of looks the same. Like, I don't change that dramatically. But it doesn't matter. I would look and I'd be like, I hate this. What is this?
Yeah.
Because I'd seen that number and I equated it like… in a really dysmorphic way.
Basically.
Right, right. I was like, I can't do this.
Like,
I can't do this.
Let's get it. Mm-hmm. Other effing man. Scales need to be thrown out. Like, that's for me, even when it comes to like BMI, I'm very kind of like, go away from
that
the BMI.
Came from like tech from the inside.
I'm there, like,
dead.
Like, I swear to God, like the worst thing in the world. For me personally, I even have these discussions with my PTs. They're like, but you didn't take my weight and you didn't take… I'm like, I will take your measurements. It's fine with me. We'll do progress photos. But when it comes to the scale, that's not what I'm going to do. And even when it comes to BMI, because when you're an athlete, for me, no matter what time in my life, if I'm training, like the way that I train, I'm always overweight according to the BMI. So you can imagine, I'm a tiny girl. I'm 153 centimeters. But when it comes to the scale, I'm overweight because I tend to put on a lot of muscle during training. So imagine you're telling a girl who's healthy and strong and wants, like, and gaining muscle in the right places, you're overweight, lose weight. What? Like, and I've got that from people who checked my BMI. And I was like, oh, you're like 3 kgs, 2 kgs overweight. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I imagine this is me coming from a place of, I know I'm healthy and I'm very proud of where I've been.
Yeah.
And someone who doesn't know if they're healthy or not. And then they go there and they're like, oh my God, I need to lose all this
weight.
The
only time a scale should matter is if you're a boxer.
Well, I think not only a boxer.
The only time my scale matters is when you want to get vegetables, bro.
But I'm… no, it's true. Now that I'm buying groceries, I'm like, oh my God.
You're weighing all of them.
Everything. But when it comes to like… sports. Like, I'm telling people, if you're not like a professional athlete where you have to be in a weight category, then it's gonna like, okay, you need to think about your weight, basically. Like weightlifting as well. You're in a specific weight category and you're gonna train or compete against the same weight category. So you want to stay in that range, and that makes sense. But if for someone who isn't, like, why is it so important? Like, I had a girl who was 56 kgs. For me, that's like really little. She's a tiny girl. She's like, no, I want to be 54.
Right.
Like, why?
Why would those 2 kgs?
What are these 2 kgs?
It makes you feel like she'd seen somewhere that for her height and for her weight, for her age, this is where she needs to be.
Right.
Arbitrary. They're attached to apps. They're attached to, like, when you log into the apps, they ask you those questions and it gives you this really arbitrary, you know.
Gives you like the healthy you is 54 and
and then she became obsessive.
I did too.
The worst thing. You did that.
Yeah. And I'm quite aware.
Imagine.
I'm quite aware. But I'm like, if it does it to me, then imagine to women who just don't have access to the information, you know? So like, for me, I know. And I had conversations with like all the guys I know about it, which is like, I cannot do this because I'm not prepared to handle the onslaught of programming. I'm not ready to. I'm just going to not do that and be happy with other markers of success. Yeah. Other markers of success.
Like a marker, the markers are everywhere. Like I tell a girl, if you can squat with no knee pain, that's like a big marker.
Huge.
Like, hello.
Huge.
You know,
yeah.
If you can lift something and your
core.
Shout out
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Are you okay? I'm just kidding. But it's definitely interesting. Like, how do we make someone celebrate things other than weight loss, right?
Yeah.
strong needs.
What about, like, I want to ask Akawi and Umar, what about you guys? Like, what do you feel like men struggle with in terms of, like, fitness? And maybe there are, like, some concepts you want to kind of alter.
Oh, loads. Like, I think, as I was talking about earlier, the trainer that I worked with, and he gave me this dream regimen. I got it because I'm a nerd in that way and I like to geek about things. But I think what that experience taught me is it gave me all the information. I was information overloaded, which I'm cool with and I'm down for that. But also I had to learn that unless I am a professional athlete and I'm about to compete, that's not for me. But also in that same way, if I'm not getting the results I wanted, now I know what I need to look for. That's not giving me those results, right? Because I complain that, okay, I'm not gaining as much muscle mass as I'd like to, right? But then the problem is you forget I'm not normal. The amount of pills I have to take every single day to regulate my body, to force my body to accept a foreign kidney, right, is always going to be a factor. That is not what normal people go through, right? So post-transplant, any organ transplant, fitness is a whole other universe that an average person does not go through, does not understand, and will struggle to empathize with unless you're going through that, right? Telling somebody, you know, who has been through transplant. And by the way, if you go through a kidney transplant, and I just know that one because that was my experience, kidneys are taken from the donor's back, right? Which is a little easier, but for recipients such as myself, it goes in my lower abdomen. Right? The impact that has on your basic mobility.
Literally.
It's done, right? Yeah. Like these tissues now that are getting stitched, that's not going to be normal, right? So having to understand that and comprehend that, and then how does that impact your training and fitness? It's not what an average person is ever going to go through. So you need to accept that you're always going to be different. So now I know that I will never look a certain way, which is the what Men's Health magazine would tell you you're supposed to acquire in 3 months, right? That'll never be an option for me. Once I've accepted that, I'm good. Now I know that I got myself to a point where I can squat a lot heavier than my own body weight, right? But having to understand that progression over time is something that regular people are not going to go through, right? So that's a very important piece of information that I realize post-transplant people don't have, which is why, like, when I go to, I constantly remind my doctor, like, hey, by the way, we should do a fitness program for post-transplant specifically. Let's do something. I'm like, I haven't found one. I have not found one. That is not a thing.
That's your niche, Emma.
It is, right? And I've been chasing them for, I'm like, yo, let's build a program. Because I remember we do the Can Get Fit every year in Ramadan, right? And it's a fitness program. We have a WhatsApp group of like, what, 60, 70 people. Yeah. We invite them to like basic workouts, 20 minutes a day, just to get your body moving.
Yeah, and before iftar, kind of.
Yeah. And like, you Love know, that. My dad joins, my younger brother joins. Like, you know, we get different friends and family members in it. And doing that, I remember my doctor, it's funny because my doctor follows me on Instagram. He saw that we're constantly training. He connected me with their PR team, which is with the hospital. And they did a story of like, oh, post-transplant and training, right?
You created that story.
Alhamdulillah, which I'm very grateful for. And to be honest, like credit goes to Akawi and Reem because like the Dukan Get Fit started it.
Akawi started it.
Because like it started with like
Akawi
chasing me and forcing me to like, yo, we're going to go running together. I'm like,
but I love that.
I was like, Tawai, I'm not going to go running with you. And like, no, like he would drag me to go running with him. And that's how it started. And then he got Nike to sponsor us at, you know, when we first started this. So like, that's what began this Dukan Gets Fit and the entire journey. Right. And when they saw that, they're like, oh, cool. I'm like, you know, they've seen the weight loss. They've seen the journey. They've seen me online posting and talking about it. And it's like, okay, great. We should do something for the community. I'm like, okay, listen, from my experience, this is what worked with me. I'm more than happy to invite my friends or trainers to actually do a simple, easy routine that not only the post-transplant people could do, but I'm like, you guys can do it as well. The transplant coordinators, because there's a team that actually helps you stay alive.
They're like, no, it's just you know? For you guys.
And
like,
I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, you guys have the kidneys.
Right? And I kept chasing them. Unfortunately, you know, eventually that went cold. But like every time I see them, like, yo, man, can we put this together? Like I have a presentation I would like to present to Sahha and I would like to present to Ministry of Health to actually develop this program. you know, and I'm still chasing that. And it's something eventually I'm going to make happen. Like I'm that committed to it. You know, if any Minister of Health representatives are listening, you got to connect. Holla at you, boy, because really we need to make this happen.
But you know what's interesting? Sorry, Akau, you want
to
like say
no,
something?
No, I just wanted to say that to what we were saying earlier.
Yeah, like what do you feel?
Yeah, I want to hear the man's point of view because like I'm like women, but I really don't know what you go through, right?
No, like for example, for us, it's like there's so much because the fitness industry also turned into such a business. There's so many different opinions. There's so many. You're in the gym. There's even your friends. There's so many guys doing so different things from bulking up to doing calisthenics to doing mobility. So you're there and you're like,
what do I do?
What do I do?
And then where
you
do
talk
I
about live? Nutrition. Yeah. There's this guy that's doing paleo. There's this guy that's doing Mubarak Shoe.
Keto and keto, like all the different vegan, diets.
You're just lost and you don't know if you're doing it correctly. I don't know if it's, of course, it's the same with women as well because I see it. And for me, yeah, that's how when it first started, I didn't know. I used to do every month, I used to do something different.
Just to move, but it wasn't to be like intentional in your training.
No, I didn't know it was if it was any 1 month. I'm like, okay, it's bulking up. We're going to do supersets every Sunday, Monday. Then I'm like, oh, no, maybe it should be only like repetition, small weights or like, you know.
Heavy weights, low repetition.
So yeah. For me, like that's how, like now I have a very good PT, alhamdulillah, Tariq. You know, the
Tariq is amazing. Let me just holler. Like I have to give credit for Tariq because Tariq's like a good friend of mine. He knows his stuff and I'm like invested in your story now, Akawi.
Invested. Okay, yeah. Can you tell me what makes him great? Like, I want to know
that.
It's based off research and science, and he puts it to work. Okay. You know what I mean? So, you tell him what you want, or you tell him what you're feeling, you tell him, I don't know, and he assesses you, and he doesn't assess you with a BMI, he doesn't assess you anything, he just works with you.
Okay.
And then, from everything that he's known, everything that he's educated himself, and he always consistently keeps on educating himself, he works on you.
Okay.
And you see it in different ways. Like today, you see in different accomplishments. So if you saw my stories today.
I did. I was very proud of you.
So please tell everyone what your accomplishment. I was so proud when I saw that, by the way. Please tell the public what you did today.
I jumped 100 centimeters.
Damn!
Yeah.
I love that.
That crack is azir.
You box jump.
Doesn't know measurements. That's why. I box jump 100 centimeters. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's two small things like that where you look at that, you're like, bro, like the ruin amal ashi. Like, what do you mean? Like,
but you don't want to do it, but he pushes you.
Surprises you, right?
So it's that, and it was a journey for me. One, it was a journey for me to tell myself, you know what, it's time for a PT.
Yeah.
Because one, you think of cost. You think,
and also as a basketball player, you know, like being able to jump that, like that's major.
So no, yeah, and back
for
to
your sport,
100%, and it's difficult. One, maybe OT you agree? Like, and how long have we been training, or whether if it's basketball or like from universities and gym, it's very hard to go. Like, you know, now I'm on PT. One, I want to invest the money. Two,
yeah,
you know what? I'm gonna stop looking at YouTube tutorials, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
But there's no process to follow.
There's
right?
no process to follow. You end up just like watching videos and then standing on the scale or doing your BMI. And that's what for me was that journey, and I know a lot of people that went through that it's still a bit confusing. What should they do for their body? Even if they read stuff, they don't know what to read. Whether if it's doing a BMI or going and doing the blood tests that tell you which nutrients are good for you and
intolerances.
Which food, and again, that's it goes back for it being a business.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes.
And I swear to God, there's only a handful of people in the industry. Here in the UAE, at least, that can give it to you like straight up. You know what I mean?
Well, if you were fine with, if you feel good about yourself, this whole business falls apart.
Yeah.
It's based on the consumerist mentality. Yeah. That you are inherently in need of help and it will keep you in the dark. But when you find someone.
It depends on insecurity.
Yeah.
Like it's a business of insecurity.
Literally.
Yeah. And when you find someone like Akawi did, and like you have 2OT. Yeah. That has a science-based approach. Science isn't shaken by your insecurities. It's just
facts is fact.
Yeah. You know, that's it. Yeah.
And it just goes back to when you invest in your body.
Yeah.
So even if PT is expensive, find a way to make it work or find a way to speak to your PT and maybe only do it at least once a month or maybe them right. But invest in your body. You know what I mean? Like I remember 3-4 years ago when remember LeBron James like declared or his people declared that he spends $1 million on his body. It was like, ugh. Nutrition, this guy's insane. But you know what?
Yeah, but look what he gets back.
Right.
But
yeah,
look
that, what he gets that's back. The biggest example we can give you. But like I started investing where, for example, PT or nutrition, for example, where I understood the calorie counting of things, right, and I understood what's needed and like how to weigh.
Can
and
we just?
Rima's laughing because she's gonna talk about what's the first
the
what's
scale the,
what's
that
the
you
first
got.
Scale I bought. I bought the vegetable. The vegetable scale.
He every meal was like he was at the fish market. Why?
You know, put podcast called Dukan.
No.
Of course, I'm gonna get a fish market scale.
I sent
scale.
Him digital scales.
I carry on brand.
I brought
yeah,
him.
I like brand. That. You know I what like I mean? And it's shunted. Accurate. It's accurate.
What the
it's
scale? Accurate.
But to be honest, what's interesting is that.
He told me this is the same scale they use to weigh babies. That's what he said. That's what he
let's
said.
Talk about that, bro. Big let's scale. Talk about that. It's like the long
school,
one? They still do. They put the baby in. And it's like, my baby's on a scale.
I was like, this is not an argument for your cause. And I sent him two digital scales. One for the office. I pulled you from your past into the 21st century.
Oh my God.
But what's wonderful is that like, cool, and I think the real lesson is invest in your body with longevity. Like under the so objective true. Is to give your body as give it the opportunity to survive and be strong for as long as possible. Like
not be strong, be healthy. Because
I mean strong for me. I'm using strong as in a loose term. I'm not like as a bodybuilder strong, but rather just you know
strong in your movement.
Strong in your movement. Yeah. Exactly. You know, like things as simple as in your 60s and 70s being able to pray. You know, on in Islam.
Biggest example.
Right? Like, instead, you don't want to be the person who has
can't
to
get
use,
back up.
Can't get back up or has to use a chair when you go to the mosque. Right?
Being, or you're trying not and, to
or
be.
Not, or trying, not, trying to be, not to you know, be. Trying to, yeah. trying to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah. And for example, my mom, clearly, I know for she doesn't like to exercise. But to her exercise, she's like, look, I'm standing on my feet all day when I go to the kitchen. We live in a house where she's got to take the stairs. So she makes it a point to use the stairs as many times as possible, you know, throughout her day.
Or like Arabic moms will go like, Rabbaitkun. That was my
that was well, now that I have a child, I don't even know what to tell you. What's going to
right? Like, you know, being raised. Like for my dad, which I love that he does that. He goes for Fajr, which is like, you know, your morning sunrise prayers. And after that, when he goes, obviously he leaves his phone at home. He doesn't take anything with him. He has his prayer beads. And after his prayers at the mosque, he'll walk the entire our compound, which is about like a 4 kilometer circle if you go for the whole walk. And he just does that every morning.
Man, walking is such an underrated activity.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. My mom is like on trend. She's like Zoom, but whatever.
All moms,
Jane
I swear
Fonda,
to
Zumba. Oh my God, have you seen this? And she does the kangaroo thing. Oh, whatever is on trend, mom will do. That's so she's a vibe.
But that's like, what's interesting, right? Like I think the issue now is that we're trying to make up not moving the whole day with 1 hour.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. Yeah. You need to be moving all throughout the day. And we're not doing that. Like I can't really just say it's the person's responsibility. It's the way that the system is. Like you're on a desk job from 9 to 5. And in a lot of cases, if you're not on your desk for 1 second, you're going to like…
You're not seen as a contributing employee.
So I'm like… We need to have more policies that help people move more in general and not think like even, oh, just take an hour break. It's like, no, you need to move all throughout the day.
Yeah.
And that's not something that we have. And unfortunately, people think that they could just fix that with 1 hour.
Which, no, you can't.
I mean, also, that's why I love phone calls. Like, I'm a pacer when I'm on the phone.
A man OT is one of those guys. If he's not on the phone, he'll send you a 6-minute voice note while walking.
Which I will do as I walk.
Do you listen to it fully? Like, I always like, skip through.
I call Reem Lamrochas. I'm like, Reem, send me the like, points.
I was like, this one was not important.
No, but seriously, like feeling healthy is like me, like after my journey and everything, when you start feeling healthy, it's a whole other, like especially with recovery and sleep.
Oh my God,
and
sleep.
And I got this whoop thing and it tells you like how much you train and how much you, and then when I start actually taking it, and like sleeping those extra hours, training is different.
Gratitude.
You know what I mean? My day is different.
Can you explain the whoop thing to me? Because I understand the basis, but I think a lot of people would be
sponsored. And to our listeners, this episode is not sponsored by Whoop, but if you guys want to, you know, sponsor us, please do. Drop us an email.
If you know someone that works in Whoop, you know.
hello@dukanmedia.com. We're happy to work with you.
Dukanmedia.com.
Like, what is it?
So it calculates your sleep, your recovery. I know that a lot of apps do that, but it also calculates your strain, which it's the only app that does that. And it tells you how much strain you're putting on your body. And against that, they calculate the recovery and the amount of sleep that you need to get. That's a top line.
But it's like also based on like heart variability. So I think that's super interesting. Okay.
that too.
I just don't sleep that much. So I feel like I would always be in a deficit.
But by the way, the first week or two, I felt like shit because it was telling me 9% recovery you need.
It makes you feel any better?
12 hours of sleep.
I literally have 14 disturbances at night. Like my daughter.
Yeah, because you have a daughter.
Right. I know.
It's always under 50%. Like the only day I recover very… Like it's not even the hours. It's the quality. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what's missing in my life because I'm a mom. Yeah. So you'd realize like I slept a good 8 hours and I just woke up like 14 times.
And you only
so I lost
26 minutes of deep sleep.
Yeah, exactly. It tells you your REM sleep, your deep sleep.
So it's worth investing in if you really want to understand the granular of it all, I guess.
It's, you know, it's interesting. So I always tell people like there isn't anything that's 100% accurate and you have to keep that in mind. But I feel it's a good incentive to want to make your life better.
But also use the insights because you can get it and just put it and go like, okay, I'm a shit sleeper. But then if you look like, okay, maybe I need to
fix my sleep.
My day a bit around. At least, okay, not because it also gives you, if you want to be at your peak, your performance or just get by.
Okay.
And it tells you how much hours you need per segment.
Okay.
So at least use those stuff. And it goes to everything, whether if it's a whoop, whether if it's a nutrition plan, whether if it's a fitness plan. People, a lot of people invest and then they just go like, you know what, I'm too busy or I can't. Or so it's also about committing. And trust me, the second that when you're healthy, it's a whole different ball, especially about recovery. A lot of people don't talk about recovery. And like I learned about recovery after I got injured, my lower back.
Yeah.
Right. You know I remember
and
that.
Even like learning like the desk job or like driving. Like I didn't like before I never got a screen. I was like,
we need to have like a whole conversation, please. Well, I want to make
this is why
about
we're giving
injuries.
You a show. I mean, I'm putting you on blast. Yeah, yeah. So, we are giving you a show.
Hello, everyone.
That's the name of the show too, by the way.
That's called Leap of Hope. Dukan Media Drop.
But
yay.
But no, I'm really excited but honestly, like, I think to talk about these things.
I mean, these things are necessary points. Like, you know, I remember when Akawi busted his back. Yo, like what he had to go through as a recovery. Pain. And it's like, granted, I don't have a whoop, but like, I'm a sleeper. Like I would sleep. I will sleep.
How is that life? How is that life?
It is wonderful.
I bet.
Like Akawi, what I love about Akawi is like he's a early morning person.
6 a.m.
On the dot. Akawi's up and will take a video of his balcony and his coffee.
That's 5 a.m.
Reem, where are you in this Sunday?
And right? I'm
Reem is the same, but without the video. They're the same in that way.
We're the same. But I know that Akawi wakes up and he's alert and awake and he wants to tackle. I wake up in a groggier state. Like but I cannot go back to sleep. We're done now.
No, because for me, I know that the second the clock is 8:30 or 9, that time is not for me anymore. You know, it's the phone, it's the laptop, it's everything. Like
it's work and life.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I'm not as early. I don't wake up as early as they do, but I know, like, for example, I'm not generally a person that stays up late. Like it's not a thing, but like Friday, bro, sleep in. I need that recovery for myself. Yeah. Like I know that Friday I need that little bit, or even a Saturday, you know, I'll take that time to rest. But like, you know, throughout the week, what wakes me up is a sense of responsibility. Like if you don't have that, I would wake up. Like I don't have to depend on an alarm. That panic will get me up. This
How
morning,
healthy.
Like, you're afraid. You know? Wake up afraid.
Yeah. Like this morning, I wanted to go running yesterday and it didn't happen because the day was like messy. But today I was like, okay, I went to bed with the intention like I have to wake up to run in the morning. And I set an alarm for 6 a.m. And my alarm went off. Snoozed. And I started…
That snooze button, bro. We need to get rid of it, man.
No, keep it.
And this is my sense of panic. I started dreaming that I was running.
I do that all the time.
Oh my God.
I started dreaming that I was running, right? And then after 10 minutes, the alarm is going to go off again. And it went off and it brought me to reality that I'm not running. I'm actually still in bed. Complete panic mode. Nice. That's what got me up. And I actually went from my…
that you get when you have a busy week. Like that's the worst. And I'm like, bro, like I'm going to wake up and deal with you.
Why do I need to have double panic in my life?
Let me be on a beach, bro. I swear. Let me be on a beach, okay?
I swear. It's so bad. Like now that I'm a mom… I don't have enough time. Like, you know, I'm in the middle of a dream. I get like woken up. I was like, oh my God, I don't even have time to dream like a normal human being anymore. Freaking out.
But I enjoy morning. Like last week, I don't know why there were 3 days in a row where I was waking up at 4:30. And after I do everything that I have to do, whether it's the coffee or the sit down or like whatever, I'm like, shit, it's still 6. Well, this is amazing.
you have so much time.
But I don't have it in me to put a 4:30 a.m. alarm.
No, no.
I don't have it in
me. It's either you get up or you don't.
I can't. No, no. Yeah. I still don't have like changing it to 4:30. La. I'm like, no, that's too early. Yeah. That's too early. You know
I can't.
What I mean?
I
but
can't.
That snooze button I hate. You know why? Because if imagine there was no snooze button. You know that if you press that button, your alarm is not going to ring again and you're going to miss out
everything.
On the meeting, work. So snooze button gives you… Yellow, it's sad, the guy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I have mine on 9 minutes, by the way.
That's automated. Weird.
Everyone I know has like their timing.
Is it a nine-minute thing?
Their alarms is like… Forget about the 9 minute. It's like not 6:30, 6:29.
But or that's
like
the thing. 6:21.
Like why are we like 1 minute?
Marcus Smith talks a lot about
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
You should listen to it. He has the whole thing around it. I'm not going to go through it now. But yeah… Where like you're always waking up because everyone's waking up at 6:30 and maybe I'm saying it wrong. Sorry, Marcus, you know. But when you wake up that minute, a minute before everyone else, it gives you that extra pump. I'm bad if how he said it, but when he said it, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
You feel like, you got an earlier start to your day.
I'm like the complete opposite.
She's like, I don't care what you're doing.
No, I'm like the devil's advocate here because like as a mom, I don't believe in like, oh, you have to wake up earlier than everyone else to be successful.
You wake up early because of her.
Exactly. So it's like putting that pressure on moms that you need to be like a successful person needs to wake up.
Before your competition.
Yeah, I was like, bro, let my competition do their thing. You know,
sleeping.
I hate this messaging. Like for me, it triggers me so much just because it doesn't apply.
It's what you do while you're awake.
The first person in your inbox back in my like when I was I was like I'm gonna wake up and I started working. Like if I wake up at 5:30 by 6 I'm working. Like now no like I have a routine and like by 8 I'm probably the laptop's also before I start because I want to be the first email in your inbox when you're like, what do I have to say?
Oh, Akawi.
Like, Akawi, you're everyone's worst nightmare. It's like, yeah, Allah, Akawi, send him it. I'd be happy to receive an email from you, man. I'm waiting. By the way, I'm awake. That's what's interesting. You message me 2, 3, 4. I'm awake somehow. Like when my daughter just moves, I was like, yeah, hi, Akawi. How's everything? You know, like
no, you two are each other's worst nightmare, which I love.
I swear.
Can I be your co-host on your show?
Let's make it happen.
Done.
We're ready. We'll launch it tomorrow.
Allah. So listen to me talk about how miserable. I'm just kidding.
No.
It's just there's a lot.
I think we're on to something.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So to wrap a few things, Akawi and Emma are going to have their own podcast called Leap of Hope. So stay tuned for that.
Leap of Akawi.
I love Leap of Hope.
You're going to make me cry.
Right. Let's end it with the other thing that we gotta keep in mind is focus on health and aging gracefully.
Yeah.
Don't look at the scale. Get rid of your scales. Eat well. Exercise. Give your body grace and move your body throughout the day. Don't depend on that 1 hour of workout.
And general training is not women's training.
No, it's not.
It needs to be specific.
Yeah,
sleep and recovery.
And don't be afraid about talking about changes that are happening throughout your body.
And let's talk about periods.
And reach
fellas, support your ladies. Support the ladies in your lives. Thank you, Tak.
And if you need someone to talk to about, you have Amal. Leap of Hope.
Yes. More than happy.
Please
I am
follow
more than happy.
Amal across all social media at Leap of Hope because honestly, she is by far one of my favorite people talking about
and
these
things.
And
you'll find her somewhere in Clubhouse, Sarah.
Now I'm like the spokesperson of Clubhouse. Yeah. Done, but
and give us a bit of time. She's going to have her own show too.
Inshallah. So, yep.
We'll catch you next week. Peace. Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.